Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
Today, we're going to come to the second of this short four-part series we're doing on practical truths from living out of Proverbs chapter 3. And last week, we thought about what I described as finding favor with God and with people. And we looked at what that means and how we go about it. This morning, we're going to look at the subject I'm describing as staying on track with God. And to find out what that means, how we can do just that, I want to look at the next two verses in the sequence of those 10 verses that we're looking at over the span of the 4 weeks from Proverbs 3, which is serving as the basis for this series. And the two verses this week, following last week, which was Proverbs 3 and 4, this week it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And let's just read them together. This is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I'm going to read that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You know, the truth is that each believer in God is on a journey with God in life. All of us that are here this morning, if you believe in Jesus, you are on a journey with him in life. And last Sunday, we thought about the way in which the choices we make chart the course of our life in that journey. And we also thought about the fact that wisdom is the making of godly choices. When you do make choices that honor God, the truth is you stay on track with him in the journey. Conversely, when we make choices that dishonor God, it's easy to be shifted off track with him experientially in the journey. So to make those kinds of choices that honor the Lord, that are wise choices, we really need his guidance and we need his strength. Because I don't know about you, but I found that I don't have the wisdom that it takes in and of myself, and I don't have the strength to sustain me in the journey apart from Jesus. So the question for us this morning is, how does that happen? How does that happen? And the answer from the text seems really clear to me. And it's this: trust. Trust in the Lord is how it happens. You know, there are lots of unknowns in life, aren't there? There are many challenges that come your way. Some that you foresee and some that you don't. There are obstacles that stand in your path. There are enemies that seek to knock you off course. But when you trust in the Lord, what I want to say to you at the beginning this morning is this: when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, those unknowns, those challenges, those obstacles, even those enemies are powerless to keep you from staying on track with Jesus and accomplishing God's intended purpose for your life as you journey with him. I really believe that. And I believe that that's what God is saying in this text. The day before his 52nd birthday, Abraham Lincoln left Springfield, Illinois, and he made his way to Washington, D.C. to become the 16th president of the United States. As the threat of civil war loomed large over the nation, Lincoln said goodbye to his friends and neighbors and supporters who had come to see him off. And he did so saying these words, and I want you to see these this morning. I now leave, not knowing when or whether ever I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington. Without assistance from the divine being who ever attended him, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. Trusting in him who can go with me and remain with you and be everywhere for good, let us confidently hope that all will yet be well. To his care, commending you, as I hope in your prayers you will commend me, I bid you an affectionate farewell. I might just add this parenthetically, personally, how I wish he were on the ballot this Tuesday, but he isn't. Lincoln has been celebrated for his many qualities as president. His civility, how different things were then. His civility, his compassion, his courage, his eloquence, his intelligence, his integrity, his strength of purpose, his tenacity, and his wit, among others. But I want you to see that these words, as he was leaving Springfield and heading to Washington to begin his presidency, confronted with a seemingly overwhelming task, which was a nation about to be riven apart by civil war, he stayed on track to a successful outcome for him and the nation because he trusted in the one with whose help he knew he could not fail. And because he trusted in the one who he knew would go with him every step of the journey. That's clear from his own words. That's the kind of trust that I believe is key to staying on track with God. And our text for today tells us exactly what that means, how to live that way, and what happens when we do. As with last week's proverb, there is both an exhortation and there's a promise contained in this wisdom text. But unlike last week's exhortation, this one is made up of three statements that lead us to a purposeful promise, and I want to look at those this morning. And the first is this. If we want to stay on track with God, we need to trust God completely. Look at the opening statement in this three-part exhortation. It's this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that is not a complicated statement to appreciate. Challenging to live, but not complicated to appreciate on its face. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The journey in life with God begins and ends with trust. If you want to know His guidance and His leading, then trust for you and for me is non-negotiable. If you want to walk with God and walk in His ways, then you have to recognize your need for trust in Him. The desperate need that every person has for God's guidance and the trust that facilitates it is brought into view in another proverb that tells us this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Left to our own devices, trying to figure out things on your own will always lead, in spiritual terms, to a place of death. Going the way you want to go without reference to God may seem right, but it will always be a spiritual dead end. It is God who alone knows the right way for each of us and the right end He has appointed for each person. It's God alone that knows that. Look, every day, you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have the joy And we have the privilege of placing our confidence in Him rather than our own feeble, flawed judgment, knowing that He will lead us in life free from the pitfalls of self-reliance. But I want you to notice something important about this exhortation to trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust here means just that. It means to trust, to rely on, and to put confidence in. But there's another connotation to this word. And Jim really didn't know where I was going this morning, but it was contained in one of the worship songs we sang this morning about falling down before Him in worship. This is the other connotation to this word that's rendered trust here in the English from the Hebrew. It means to fall to the ground, to be face down, and to be helpless. That's one of the connotations of that word trust, to fall down before the Lord, to be face down before Him, to be helpless before Him and desperate for Him. It's a picture of complete and total reliance upon Him and surrender to Him. The word for Lord, or here in this verse, is the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is the proper name for God, the name so sacred that the Israelites would not even articulate it. They wouldn't even speak it. It's the name Yahweh. And using that name in this text implies a personal relationship, a covenant relationship with God, with the person of God. You know, last week I said the words love and faithfulness in Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, and that exhortation to love and faithfulness, to bind them on your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, spoke about a personal covenant relationship, and so does this word trust. We are to trust in the one to whom and with whom we are related, the Lord. Not some remote God somewhere that we're not connected to. Someone that we have a relationship with. So the call to trust Him is a call to rely on Him with all your heart. To rely on God with all your heart. And I said last week, and I want to say again this morning, the heart in biblical terms speaks to the core of our being. It speaks to the seat of our affections. It includes our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, and our will. The heart is the center of who we are. Really, it speaks to all of who we are. So the exhortation to trust the Lord, to rely on Him, is the call to do so completely with all of your heart, with all that you are. In other words, the call is to total trust, not to partial trust. The call is to trust the Lord and hold nothing back. The call is to trust the Lord and to do it without reservation. Now, you know, the truth is that you and I every day are asked to exercise a measure of trust in people, in corporations, in organizations, in institutions of one kind or another, every day in life. You think about it. Whether you're entering into a friendship with someone, whether you're signing a contract, whether you're starting a new job, whether you're receiving professional advice, or whether you're just purchasing a product, a level of trust is required to do all of those things in life. Now, sometimes our trust can be abused. Sometimes that trust can be broken. But the reality is, every day in life, in order to function, we exercise a measure of trust in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different entities, and in a lot of different people that we interact with in life. And I would say this, if you and I were to say, you know what? I'm going to withdraw my trust from everybody and everything. Life would functionally become untenable. We exercise a level of trust every single day. Think about it. What marriage could function without trust between a husband and a wife? No marriage can function effectively if there's no trust there. What family can really be a family if all trust is removed? What professional relationship, what business transaction is worth anything if it's absent any degree of trust? Trust is something we deal with and exercise every single day at some level. When it comes to our relationship with God, though, trust is a much bigger deal than any of those other things that I've just enumerated, and they are all important and consequential, some more than others. When it comes to trust and our relationship with God, it is a big, big deal. Why? Because we are in relationship with Him. He is the sovereign Lord. He is Yahweh. He is the faithful one. But He is also our heavenly Father that loves us with an everlasting and unfailing love. And we are His kids. Trust is a big deal with God. This is why He says He wants you to trust Him completely. He wants you to trust Him in your life and with every area of your life. He invites you and me to rely on Him in every situation and in every season. He promises to always be there for you, to never leave you or forsake you, to always be the one who will lead you on the right path. His guidance is always good. His plan is always perfect. And you know what? He doesn't ask you to figure out where He is leading or even what He is doing. He simply asks you to trust Him as He does both. And when you do, you will get to share in what He's doing and you will get to go where He's leading. Trust is the key ingredient. Not knowledge, trust. If you want to know God's guidance and walk in God's ways, then trust the Lord. Cultivate the kind of heart that David cultivated when he prayed this in Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. He says, teach me, Lord. I'll walk in your way. I'll walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. You know, a divided heart trusts God partially and periodically. That's not the kind of heart or the kind of trust that God is looking for from us. The Lord wants us to fall to the ground before Him face down in full faith. And you know what? He will meet us in that place of trust. He's promised to do that. He will keep us on track in life when in humility we fall face down before Him and say, I am helpless, Lord, apart from You. Lead me on. This will happen also when we respond to the second of this three-part exhortation, which is this: don't trust yourself fully. Don't trust yourself fully. The scripture goes on to say, and lean not on your own understanding. At the same time as you are called to trust God with all your heart, you're also called not to lean on your natural understanding. Now, I want to say something here that I think is important at this point. This does not mean that you're not to use your cognitive abilities and your capacity to reason when you make choices or decisions. That's not what's being said here. What it does mean is that you're not to use those capacities without reference to God. You're not to lean on them alone. You know, the mind and the understanding that is not renewed by the Spirit of God is incapable of discerning the things of God and knowing the will of God. Paul makes this clear in the New Testament when he writes this to the Corinthians. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You know, the word lean here in this scripture, when it says, and lean not on your own understanding, is a word that carries with it the sense of putting your full weight on something or someone. Resting or trusting in a person or thing. It's the idea of putting your full weight on something or someone, trusting in them to do that, and resting in them as you do, as you lean with everything. The Lord wants you to lean on Him. He wants you to put your full weight on Him, not on your natural understanding. When you do that, something wonderful happens. Your natural understanding becomes renewed by the mind of the Spirit. And you get a spiritual understanding together with a trusting heart, and both are needed in order to be guided according to God's leading and in order to make the choices that are rightly aligned with God's will. Let me ask you this morning, and these are rhetorical questions, but ones I ask you to think about this morning. When you are confronting an important choice or a significant decision in life, how does God factor into that choice, and how does God play into that decision? Do you rely on your own judgment as to what is best and then ask God to endorse what you've chosen? Or do you rely on your ability to discern naturally what is best and then ask God to support your decision, the one that you've made without reference to Him? Who this morning are you leaning on? Where are you placing your weight? Who are you resting on? Who are you trusting in? You know, God is exhorting us in this text to make a choice. He's saying this to you this morning. Make a choice not to try and figure things out on your own. Make a choice not to try and figure stuff out on your own. He wants you to turn to Him and lean on Him. He wants you to trust Him completely. And as you do, then your choices and your decisions in the journey of life with God will be rightly aligned with His will and His path, and He will keep you on track. Eugene Peterson really gets to the heart of this truth in his version of today's scripture in the Message, which he puts this way. Trusting God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Again, let me stress, this does not mean you do not use your mind, or that you put your mind in neutral, or that you denigrate your God-given capacity to reason. It means instead that you think, you process, and you decide with a renewed mind governed by the Spirit, who speaks into your spirit with a small, still voice of revelation. It means you think, process, and decide with a renewed mind submitted to the authority of God's Word. It means you think, you process, and you decide, considering and weighing the counsel that you're given by others you're in relationship with in the body of Christ. These are the things that we do as we lean on the Lord and not on our own understanding. You know, when you lean on your own understanding instead of the Lord, you will become spiritually disoriented. You'll be like someone in a forest who's gotten lost and has no sense of direction. They don't know what's up or down, which way to go, and they're unable to make the right choice to extricate themselves by finding the right path. But when you lean on the Lord, when you put your full weight of reliance on Him, falling face down in trust before Him, you become oriented to the Spirit. And He draws alongside. That's what He does. That's His name in the Greek. It's the Paraclete. And the Paraclete is one who draws alongside us. And when you fall face down before Him, the Spirit draws alongside and He guides you. And you begin to think like God thinks. And you begin to walk in the way of God. And when you do that, something even more wonderful happens. And this wonderful thing is captured by the third exhortation, or third part of this exhortation statement, in the first part of verse 6 from the text. And it's this: you start to know God intimately. To know God intimately. Here's the part of the verse that speaks to this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Notice again that just as you're called to trust in the Lord with all your heart, you're called in all your ways to acknowledge Him. Wisdom teaches us to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, and I believe God means exactly that. You and I are called to acknowledge God in every sphere of our lives, our attitudes and our actions, our characters and our cares, our desires and our dreams, our families and our finances, our hobbies and our hopes, our jobs and our joys, our values and our visions. Every area of our life, we are called to trust the Lord. The Lord wants you and me to acknowledge Him in everything. Nothing's too big and nothing's too small. Nothing's too important and nothing's too inconsequential. Everything is relevant to the Lord as we lean on Him and trust in Him in our relationship with Him. That's why He says, I want all of your heart and I want all of your ways. What does it mean then to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways? Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of the word acknowledge, the idea that comes to mind is not one that has to do with intimacy. I don't think of the word acknowledge and intimacy really in the same sentence. Typically, when I use the word acknowledge, I would mean I'm recognizing that something's there and that it's real. That something's real when something's there. For instance, like if I'm driving, and I don't know why driving always lands up being an illustration in my messages, but if I'm driving and I'm in a 30-mile-an-hour speed zone, like I was one day a few years ago on the way to see Jim Fasulo, but I wasn't going 30 miles an hour, as the policeman that stopped me quickly told me. But anyway, if I were in a residential zone that would mark 30-mile-an-hour speed limit, and I'm driving down that road, and I see the sign, I acknowledge, hey, there's really a sign there. I recognize what it says. It says 30 miles an hour, and therefore I'm not to go above 30 miles an hour. I recognize it's real, it's legit, and it's there. Now, whether I abide by it or not, and on that particular occasion I didn't, is another question. But I've acknowledged the fact that it's there. Say I buy a ticket to go to a concert or a ball game or something, and on the ticket it says that the event starts at a particular time. Well, I look at it and I acknowledge, hey, this event or this concert or this ball game starts at this time, and if I want to be there at the beginning, I better get there by that advertised time. Now, whether I do it or not is entirely up to me, but I've acknowledged that it's there and that it's real, and that game is going to start or that event's going to take place at the advertised time. The point is, I can acknowledge those things merely with recognition. It doesn't require any emotional or relational connection. And that's the way that I typically think about acknowledging something. That's not what this word means here in the Hebrew. The word acknowledge here in Proverbs 3 in the Hebrew is a word that means to know and be known. To know and be known. Intimately. That's what the word means. Why translators keep using the word acknowledge here baffles me. It really does. You can check this out. The word means to be known, to know and be known intimately. And there are some of the more modern translations, one of them I'm going to refer to in a moment, that have captured this. It means to know in a personal and intimate sense and to be known that way. So, when it says in all your ways acknowledge him, it's talking about in the context of an intimate relationship in which you know God and you're known by him. So when the Lord says he wants you to acknowledge him in all of your ways, he's saying something so much more simply than that you exercise the recognition that he's there. Yeah, you need to recognize that he's there. But you need to understand that he wants to know you intimately. And he's inviting you to know him in the same way, in all of your ways. Brian Simmons, who I quoted from last week in his Passion version of Proverbs, and the first part of verse 6, does get this, and he puts it this way. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. That's how he renders, in all your ways acknowledge him. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. This is a call to intimacy, not mere mental assent and recognition that God's there. It's entering into an intimate experience and relationship with him in which you know him and are known by him. So how do you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways in the sense of intimate knowing? By doing this, listen for his voice and recognize his presence. This is what it means to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. As you cultivate a capacity to hear his voice, deepening your love relationship with him, you begin to hear what he has to say. And it stirs up fresh expectation in the heart to want to hear him more. Opening your heart to him fully. Instead of just saying, well, you can have this portion of my heart, this area of my life I'm willing to expose to you, but the rest is off limits. Instead of that, it becomes, Lord, my heart is open to you fully. Recognize his presence in your life, in all that you do, in all of your ways. I mean, you know this. I don't even really need to say it, but I'll say it anyway. You don't just connect with God, you know, when you're here on Sunday morning or in a life group or, I mean, God is with you every moment of every day in your work, in your profession, in your family, in your recreation, in everything, in all of your ways. And he wants to know you as intimately when you're out on the golf course or out shopping as he does when you're here on Sunday morning worshiping him. You know, when this happens in our lives, everything's turned over to him. We yield it to him. And it's not a big deal to do so because we are intimately connected with him. We are loved by him and we are loving him. And when all of this happens, when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and we choose not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge him, then here comes the promise of God. God will lead you purposefully and he will make your paths straight. Those were the exhortations. Here's the promise. He will make your paths straight. As you trust the Lord with all your heart, as you lean upon him instead of your own understanding, as you acknowledge him by developing intimacy with him, that's what he wants. He doesn't want a remote relationship with us. He wants an intimate one. When that transpires, he will guide you and you will follow his lead. The promise is clear. He leads those who trust in him. And those who know him, for them he will make their paths straight. We can't expect God to make our paths straight in life if we will not trust him with all of our heart. If we'll not respond to his invitation to intimacy and relationship. You know, path here speaks to the way of life. The word straight comes from a Hebrew word that means to make smooth, to make straight, or to make right. It's derived from another root word, which means to straighten out a crooked object. It also conveys the idea of an object being evenly hammered so that it is straight. And finally, it carries the idea of the way which is straight or true in contrast to that which is crooked, false, or perverse. That's what's being said here. You put all of this together, the promise of God is this: an intense commitment, a fervency on God's part, a promise that He will direct you on the right path. Now, let me close out with these further few thoughts. This does not mean that the path of life will always be easy or that it will always be smooth in the sense that there will be no difficulties, no disappointments, no obstacles, no opposition, no sorrow. It is, though, the commitment to keep you on the right path and to direct your steps securely so that nothing can hinder you from accomplishing God's purpose in your life. That's what the promise is here. There is power in the promise of God because there's power in the person of God. Notice the personal pronoun here, He. He will make your path straight. Yahweh will do that for you. Enlisting the support of Yahweh cannot be topped in life, right? But He's also your tender Father that loves you. He's your Father. And like any father, He wants the best for His kids. And He loves you fervently. He loves you intensely. And that love fuels His commitment to you and to this purposeful promise to keep the paths in your life straight ones. Ones that are not just straight as in terms of the trajectory of your life towards Him and His kingdom, but right in contrast to that which is crooked and perverse. That which is righteous. I want to say this as I end out. There is no enemy that can prevent God from realizing His purpose for you when He directs your steps. There's no opposition that can frustrate your forward momentum in God when He leads you. And there's no crisis. There is no crisis that can knock you off the path that God has marked out for you or keep you from the destination that He has planned for you when you trust Him and lean upon Him. That's the kind of God that we have. So the path may not always be pleasant. Have you noticed that at times? It's not always pleasant. The path may not always be easy. The path may not even always be the one that you would have chosen. It may not always be the one you would have chosen. But the truth is, God will direct your steps. He will keep you on the right path, and He will be present with you every step of the journey if you trust Him. That's what staying on track means, I believe, this morning from this text. Trust in God completely. Rely on Him with all your heart. Don't trust yourself fully. And make a choice not to try to figure things out on your own. Know God intimately. Listen for His voice. Recognize His presence. Cultivate a desire for both. And then you know what happens? The promise comes that God will lead you purposely, that He'll direct your steps. He'll keep you on the right path. That's a promise for all of us this morning. Let's stand and just commit this to God in prayer.